You're listening to the NP EdCast, where we go around the North Penn School District and capture innovative things that our teachers are doing with students. Hello, welcome back to the NP EdCast. I'm Joe Mazza. Today I'm here at Culp Elementary School visiting with Glenn Yetter. And Glenn is completing today the final day of 2014 PSSA testing.
Woohoo!
So welcome, Glenn.
Thanks, Joe. Always good to see you. Glad to be here.
Glenn, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background here in North Penn for those who don't know you.
Well, actually, I'm a North Penn grad. I'm not going to say what year, but grew up in North Penn area. Went to Millersville, got my degree in education, played soccer there, came back, and been here ever since. I've worked at a couple different schools. I was at Hatfield Elementary. I was at Penfield. Long-term at Walton Farm, had a little great stunt as a tech coach, and now happy to be here at Culp.
All right, and you have a spouse in the district, too, is that right?
Yes, the famous Dr. Nicole Getter, the Olvea cyberbully bully expert. She does a great job there. She loves being up at the high school, and we live in Hatfield.
Glenn, first question for you today is talk a little bit about what teaching looked like when you joined the teaching force out of college and how that's different from 2014 and what you're doing on a daily basis with your students today.
Wow, that was a long time ago. I guess teaching back then was much more or less data-driven. We had a curriculum. We followed the curriculum. But there wasn't all this data, assessments, everything else to drive what we do. I understand the assessments. I understand the data because that gives us some information on each child to help. But it seemed to be, back in the day, a much more broader general scope.
Glenn, how have you used some of today's technology tools to evolve your classroom, you know, maximize time, dig deeper on certain topics, bring kids more real-life opportunities in the classroom?
Well, I always try and work towards being a paperless classroom, and I think that gives kids the opportunity to express themselves more digitally. I'm a very big, avid Moodle user. We use a lot of different web tools for kids to get a chance to express themselves, whether it's Animoto, Bitstrips, Vokies. So I think that's a good way for kids to connect and understand what's going on.
Glenn, fast forward to tape 2024, here, 10 years after, you know, right now. What do you think that the classroom teacher is going to look like? What is going to be happening within that classroom? What do you foresee?
Well, actually, I foresee myself being retired, but aside from that, I really would hope by then, and it doesn't take that long, that we really go towards a one-on-one, whether that's an iPad, a Chromebook, or some other kind of little laptop. I would hope that we become paperless. And I just hope that being connected like that would make the kids more globally aware. We do a lot of mystery Skypes, and I think it's great for kids to realize, especially at this age, my world is not just right here. My world is huge, and I'm a big part of that, and I need to connect with that. So that's what I would hope would happen in the next couple, 5-10 years.
Glenn, you talk about mystery Skypes, and there's a number of teachers in the district that are currently doing that, but for those that maybe aren't sure what that is, can you kind of define that and talk about what you've been able to do with your class doing mystery Skypes?
Sure. Mystery Skypes are great. Basically, you make some connections, mostly through Twitter, with other like-minded teachers that would like to connect with classrooms. So we set up a Skype call. We basically played 20 questions. Where in my class, we have Google Earth on the iPad, and through answering those questions can begin to narrow down where this other classroom is. Once we complete that, and then we have a few minutes to talk about what are some favorite books that we're reading, our school population, where we're located, our schedule, and those types of things. Now that PSSAs are over, actually I have one tomorrow, and I have another one next week scheduled too, so. And the one next week, I'm excited because it's with a second grade class. So we're going to partner up and buddy with another second grade class here. And the other Skype person's going to buddy up with their sixth grade class. So it should be fun.
So the kids in your class and the other class have no idea where they're Skyping, and you've got to ask some questions related to geography and other things to try and arrive at the solution.
Right, and we try and do some things with cultural clues, like who are some famous people from our state, what's our maybe products of our state, some geography of our state, temperature, climate of our state. So it's a nice overall application. Kids love it.
That's great, and you can leverage that using the Skype tool that is accessible here in North Penn.
Yep.
Also, I know some teachers using a Google Hangout to do something like that. I know with the classroom debates that people have had from school to school or district to district or even state to state, some of those debates, I know Gabby Morrison over at Knapp did one with New Jersey last year. Ray Wilson and I did one this year with some other schools in New Jersey about safe schools and having police officers in schools. So there's an awful lot of topics that you can do to have a debate and really expand your classroom windows and doors. Glenn, here in North Penn, we're working really hard on helping teachers and helping students through digital citizenship challenges. So many of our kids are growing up with a device in their hand at school, at home. So what are you doing in your class? What are some ideas that you have that we can be better digital citizens, and how can we role model that for our kids?
That's a great point, and I'm a very strong believer in teaching kids how to be digital citizens. To me, we really have to get kids online practicing how to be good digital citizens. I use the analogy of riding a bike. How would you ever learn how to ride a bike if you actually weren't on a bike? So how are we going to teach kids to learn to be good digital citizens if they're not online practicing such? We do a lot of back channeling with Today's Meet, whether it's through a video or a story we're listening. So again, I'm constantly preaching about whatever you post, it's out there for everybody, so be careful what you say. And as a result, certain students have lost privileges because they just can't understand what it means to be a good citizen yet. Common Sense Media has a great program called Digital Passport, where kids actually go online, go through different activities, learn how to be good digital citizens, what to post, what not to post, who to talk to, who not to talk to, and so forth. So that's been a big focus for me this year.
Glenn, you obviously swim in social media waters yourself, as an adult, as a professional, looking to better yourself as a teacher. Do you think that helps kids when you as a teacher are role modeling acceptable use of social media?
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, I talk about my Twitter use with my kids all the time, and they'll say, oh, where'd you get this? Or I'll offer, hey, I got this idea from Twitter. We talk about the mystery Skypes. Well, how'd you find out? Well, because of, people I've made connections with via Twitter. So I think that's true with anything. If a teacher has a passion for something and they're very involved with it, they're going to very easily carry it over into their own classroom. And I think kids appreciate that. It's a good role model no matter what the topic would be.
And I'm sure you learn an awful lot from Dr. Nicole Yetter as she's practicing, before she goes out and speaks. You're the first one to hear all of the new research that she's sharing about digital citizenship, right?
Oh, yeah, you could go with that.
Glenn, I'm aware that you're involved in some projects, not only with those outside of North Penn, but also some other teachers and classes within the district. Can you talk a little bit about some of those projects, what sparked them, and some of the results that you're seeing in your teaching and learning?
Sure. A couple things to start. Janet Crawford and I over at Bridal Path, we've done book chats where once a week we would Skype in with their class. I would have students take turn and they would actually promote a book that they're reading, talk about why they like the book, the genre, some plot events, recommendations, and so forth. And we would just kind of go back and forth. And I think my kids got a lot out of that in terms of hearing from other kids what kind of books would be recommended, but also being able to process the books that they read and share it and really have a knowledge of and comprehension of what they were reading. So that's been great with her, and we look forward to continuing with that. My latest project has been with Scott Swindells up at the high school. We had just completed a large narrative, and I had probably of the 20 papers that I had, most were somewhere around that 10-page in length. And as an editor, it just became a little bit of a burden to try and get good feedback to each kid. So Scott and I have been talking about some other things, and I just kind of threw out the idea of, hey, how about if I share my stories with some of your English high school students? Would they be interested in doing some revising and editing? Well, he thought that was a great idea and actually had some of his honors English students via Google Docs make some corrections and suggestions for my students on their papers, and we were able to share that way. I would still hope that we could Skype in and have some conversations about it, and that's down the road, but that collaboration through high school with my elementary kids gave them a practice for their skills and then gave some real-time feedback to my students. So that it worked out really well. I look forward to doing that again.
Glenn, in some closing thoughts here, I was here at in your classroom earlier this week while you were providing a Twitter 101 for, you know, 9 or 10 colleagues here in your classroom here at Culp. And, you know, I know that you do that from time to time. You worked over at NAP with us, and you provided some professional development. I know you did some Tech Tuesdays with Brett Baker over there. So, you know, as long as I've known you, you'd constantly be committed to, you know, helping your colleagues you know, rise to the occasion in terms of understanding new technologies and implementing in your classroom. You know, what are your thoughts and hopes about teachers leveraging technology in the future?
Well, I would hope that teachers will just begin to embrace it. I don't think technology is going away. I know it takes time. I know it takes effort. I understand the fear of not knowing. But I think aside from that, we need to promote it for the benefit of our students. We're in a very technology, media-rich world, and I think it's almost, to some extent, a disservice to students to not put that out in front of them and not help them be aware of those types of things. So I just hope people would consider to think about embracing it, become connected, take the time, take the effort, because I think in the long run it's going to be extremely beneficial.
I'd like to thank Glenn Yetter and Culp Elementary School for having the MP EdCast here today. Have a great day.